This is a Pinball News production.
Okay, hi everybody. Rick Bartlett, Planetary Pinball. This is now our second year of being Planetary Pinball. So what I typically do is give kind of an update of what we're doing and where things might be going and some secret things and so forth. And then we bring some of the stuff that we make and give it away. And Sam, the man, is in the audience, and Sam handles all my giving away-ness, so he's set up to do that. And then in addition, I've got a guest from Germany, Mirko, from High Class Pinballs, who will show some of the stuff that he's been making. He works with us on getting some play fields and some other things out. And just want to give him a quick intro and say hi as we go through things. So I'm just going to go through a few things here, and then we can also ask some questions and talk about interesting rumors or make some, you know, fun statements about other people or whatever we want to do. Okay. So just for those who don't come here every year or don't understand or don't listen to me last year, we're a licensee of Williams Electronic Games. We manufacture, sell, and distribute replacement Williams Bally parts. So we do Williams Bally stuff. Rick and Matt are, you know, the owners, and we have a team that runs a warehouse, an art department, parts development. We have a full art development and production facility in-house, so we do a lot of stuff ourselves. And you know, we work on really short-run stuff, you know, which is pinball these days. So what can we do to get stuff out that otherwise would have been thousands or hundreds of units, and how do we get that stuff to happen? We're in San Jose, and like I said, we're in business for 2 years. We actually launched at Expo here. You know, I think everybody's heard some of the story before. We launched back in 2010 when we acquired all the intellectual property and parts from the guy in Australia. And it was funny because Gene Cunningham at Illinois Pinball and I were sitting in the same show in Pacific Pinball Expo, and we were stuck in the same room, and that was a pleasurable situation. And he was saying, "Oh, gee, you should go buy the parts. You know, you should go buy the business from Australia." And in fact, I was on my way on a plane that afternoon, but I didn't exactly tell him that. So it was kind of a interesting story. And then I took off that night to Australia and consummated the deal. And then, lo and behold, we had all the parts. So it was funny to hear all the interest that he had of what he was doing, but he didn't know we were going to soon be competitors. So just one of those funny things that happen along the way. We have a site, pinball.com. So we primarily put the stuff that we make and the stuff that we sell there. We don't put everything. We're not trying to be everything on that site. So it's really kind of highlight what we have. So I just pulled this out of the Internet Pinball Database. The thing that is interesting to me is that the Williams Bally classic games are still interesting to everybody. And, you know, if you look at the top 10, and I don't care the method and approach that they use. I'm just kind of highlighting that these are interesting games, and therefore the parts to make them whole is what we try to do. You know, obviously we try to go back as far back in time as we can. You know, I'm working on some EM back glasses, Williams Bally stuff, and, you know, anything that we can go do. But I think it's really telling that these games are still so popular and so valued today, and you can see that in the prices and how hard it is to get the games and things like that. So, you know, wouldn't it be cool if these games don't disappear? And, you know, there's really two ways to do that. Either you make the parts to restore the games and keep them running, or you make new games, you know. And by the way, we have the rights to make Williams Bally games if we so choose. Our business is not to make games, but we enable the games to be made if that comes to fruition. You know, so what we did with Jersey Jack, for example, was to help put Bally Williams parts inside of their game. And, you know, you never know what happens down the road as to whether or not, you know, we do remake games. You know, it's an interesting topic. one thing that we do also do is we acquired, or we ended up with all the Bally Williams stuff on their website, all the EPROMs and reference materials and stuff like that. And then in addition, I've been trying my hardest to try to get more reference material on the site. So one thing we did was try to index all the big parts manuals and stick those on the site. We did that earlier this year, and trying to put more stuff on. So now you can go to those 800-page manuals and type in a part number, you know, 03-8034, and it'll tell you what pages of those 800 pages the game is on. So you can do that today. We put most of, I don't know, probably 20 or 30 Williams Bally parts manuals, you know, the parts books for the different years on there. So it's just good to see, and it's all visual. You can zoom in on every page and all that kind of stuff. So that's a useful thing for people that kind of understand that that's going on. But it's like 6,000 pages of stuff that we put on, and it's fully indexed. So I just want to kind of highlight that as back, I think, to the late 60s. So when they started doing those parts books, I think it was in the 64, maybe, something like that. You know, and quite frankly, if we can get more that we don't have on there, then we just got to go scan them and then do all the things that we do to get them all set up, and then we'll stick them on there. So I'm trying to get all those parts books on, and then we can go to other manuals and stuff like that. I'm also getting all the schematics for all the early games, you know, for all the EM games, and trying to get those scanned and cleaned up and then stuck on the site as well. I just got to find a viewer that can view, you know, these three-page long schematics in a useful way. So trying to get some of that content on that otherwise is not really around, and kind of move on from there. I just want to go quickly about the stuff that we do and the stuff that we make and make available. So we do a lot of stuff directly. We do a lot of stuff with our key suppliers. We do a lot of stuff with just parts suppliers that were the original suppliers for Williams Bally stuff. You know, so I have all the records of who made what, and then I call them up and say, we need some of these. And so sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we have to reproduce something. You know, a lot of times these guys disappear, and we go from there. So these are some of the things that I do in the business and what we do with a bunch of our partners. So, you know, things like coil wrappers. You know, who would have thought that coil wrappers would be interesting? But coil wrappers are interesting to a lot of people because, for some reason, they want to restore everything on their game, including, you know, how all the coils look underneath the game. So we sell them as kits, and, God, we had to do, you know, 100 and some odd different coil wrappers, and they're 5 or 6 or 7 different sizes and different layouts and all sorts of goofy stuff. So that's all done. It's on the right kind of paper, and you just peel it and stick it on, and then you can turn an old coil into a fresh, minty new coil. Cabinet decals. So we have a process to make cabinet decals, and we keep making more and more of them. We can make most cabinet decals with the exception of stuff that's got really high fluorescent type colors and things like that. Otherwise, we'll just do silkscreen. I mean, we did Party Zone and Elvira in silkscreen, and then the other ones we do in our art department directly. We just came out with Medieval Madness, which is a perfect match. We laid the reproduction ones that we're doing with the original ones, and we can't tell the difference. Trans lights, we make trans lights. we just finished Monster Bash and just did Scared Stiff and a bunch of other ones. So we print those directly. The original manufacturer doesn't have that stuff anymore, so we can't even get it that way. Playfields, Mirko here will show you a few that he's done up front. And then Classic Playfields, of course, does a lot more. So there's a ton of playfields coming out. I mean, they've started coming out. They've been coming out from CPR for, I don't know, a year or two now at least. And, you know, you can expect probably in 2013, probably one a month, I would think, about of playfields, which is good news for everybody. Game manuals, we do a lot of game manuals. Pop bumper caps, we do all sorts of these caps with decorations in the middle of them, and just doing more and more and just trying to get them all done. Same thing with drop targets. We just did spinning targets. which are, you know, we reproduce the metal spinning targets, and then we stamp them directly, so no decals on them and things like that. Back glasses, primarily done by CPR for the most part. And I think there was just a message about another, 10 or 20 from Stuart Wright that's working on getting those done. So there's going to be a ton of back glasses out, which, again, is a good thing. EPROMs, you know, we allow EPROMs to go out and do those. We do a ton of playfield decals. Just whatever playfield decals we can get our hands on, we reproduce because, you know, they're relatively straightforward for us internally. We do a ton of molded parts. Molded parts are difficult because typically the tooling is not around, or the tooling is decayed, or it's too expensive, or somebody's not letting us use it, or something like that. So we figured out how to reproduce a lot of this stuff. So we either reproduce it directly, or we you know, use some original tooling or whatever we can do to do it. And so we've got a ton of molded plastic parts that are out, a lot of game-specific stuff. Brackets and scoops and things like that. Insert decals. We do a lot of insert decals for, you know, restoring play fields. Common plastic parts. We just, you know, did the posts and caps and, you know, stuff that have been around or not around. We just did, like, the cranks for Star Trek, you know, things that break a lot we like to do. Common parts, we've got all the, you know, we make more and more common parts, springs and brackets and things like that. PC boards, we make some PC boards, probably going to be making more PC boards. I've got access to all the original PCB files and all the PCB houses that make the original Williams boards, so we can make those things. It's just a matter of, you know, a lot of them are already out in reproduction, probably a little bit better designs as well. Jersey Jack parts, we're making Williams parts that are Jersey Jack parts, as well as Jersey Jack parts that are not Williams parts, so we're a distributor for that. And then more stuff. There's a, you know, probably at least 100 projects that we're doing at the same time trying to get things done. And so that's kind of the quick overview of the kind of stuff that we do, and all the stuff that we have here is on our site and then through our distributors. You know, and the site is just pinball.com, planetarypinball.com, and just, you know, we highlight kind of the latest things and the greatest things, and then you can buy it there, or you can go to our distributors and buy stuff there. and then kind of what's going on now, So we just acquired a few months back the Universal license. Part of what we need to do to make parts is we either, you know, we have the Williams license, which allows us to use copyright and trademark from Williams, but that doesn't necessarily allow us to use copyright and trademark from Elvira or from Star Trek or from Twilight Zone. And so we have to then go and acquire a license to use any of that third-party stuff. And so that sometimes is not easy, especially with big studios. And, you know, if you're talking to Disney or Time Warner or Universal, they tend to like money. And so so we usually have to give them money. And so so we just did that with Universal, which gives us Monster Bash and Creature from the Black Lagoon, and started putting out products, you know, plastic sets, cabinet art, and things like that for those two games. And then working on other licenses that we need to get. You know, there's some other ones that are a little bit more challenging because they're a smaller volume game. And, you know, like if we probably wanted to get Popeye, we could, you know, see what it takes to do it. But it might be difficult. Usually these licensees don't see pinball as the biggest volume supplier out there. They'd rather have a toy manufacturer make a million toys than to see pinball do it. We've been working with the Color DMD guys to, you know, make sure that happens and try to encourage that, because I think that's a good thing for pinball overall. As I said, Jersey Jack. Just in or about in, just an example, you just did taxi decals, cabinet decals, whitewater cabinet decals. I'm just finishing up this week. Monster Bash Translates, creature playfield window. Everybody's asking for that. We just finished that, and it's being shipped to me right now. It was a 1,100-pound tool. They couldn't even lift it. They had to lift it with a crane to stick it in the machine. So we made some in tinted green as well as green, or as well as just regular clear. And so that should be out in probably about a week or two. They should be, we should have the initial parts. Miracle, I'll show you and talk a little bit about the medieval play field that we just did the initial run on. Silver Ball Mania, Mania playfield that CPR did, just a lot of stuff coming. So a lot of stuff that's in the pipeline. This is stuff that's out, not coming out, but this is stuff that's, you know, here now and done and ready to go. So there's a ton more stuff, and, you know, part of what we do is listen to you guys and say, what do you need, and what's interesting, and what should we try to focus on, and you know, we really don't work on things that other people are doing. It's not interesting to us. We're not trying to conquer the universe. We're just trying to get some parts out that that we have the capability to do, or the intellectual property rights to do, or whatnot, and then we just go do it. So that's kind of where that is, and then what's 2013 going to look like? So we're going to do a lot. We've got probably 5 or 10 more sets of cabinet decals that are in process that we're trying to work through. We've got a ton more playfields, plastic sets, and black glasses. So that typically is through, you know, CPR, Classic Playfields with Stuart Wright, and High Class Pinballs with Mirko and a few others, and just trying to bring them online. Sometimes things don't happen as quickly as they would like to happen. I can't tell you how many times I've announced something and then all of a sudden there's an oh shit moment, you know, and it's like that's happened with a couple of play fields and that's happened with a couple of things. So I'm usually careful when I announce things that they're pretty close, but I'm always sometimes off by a year or two, depending on when the problem happens and how bad the problem is. And that happened with actually the Getaway play field, which is actually being silkscreened right now, which doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be out next month, but it means that it's better that it's silkscreened than it's being designed. So we've got Getaway play field as well that's coming, and then Bride of Pinbot would be coming after that. But, you know, I don't even know when I could say that that's for sure. You know, hopefully towards the end of the year, the Getaway will be out, and we can look for the other one shortly after that. So there's a lot more stuff coming, more parts categories, anything we can go figure out that we can make a bunch of different variations of. We tend to gravitate to those. What also is happening is we're moving to direct print. Direct print anything. You know, it could be back glasses, plastic sets, whatever, and typically that's going to be kind of the lower volume, more obscure stuff. So, you know, typically we would use, you know, CPR and others to continue doing what they're doing and then start focusing on, a lot of the EM plastic sets and stuff like that that otherwise would not be very high up in the queue, and then we're just running direct print. So we have the equipment now to do that and have done the testing and so forth. So, you know, we have partners that are working with us that are now online to go do that. So you'll start seeing more of this stuff out that will be pretty good. You know, won't be silkscreened, perfect quality stuff, but it'll be pretty good, and it'll be definitely good enough for what people want on their games. So you'll start seeing that actually towards the end of this year. We've got a couple of things coming out, and then early next year will be a lot more stuff. And then Jersey Jack Wizard of Oz will start up, and that'll include a bunch of parts and distribution. And then my teaser is that there's going to be some really interesting things going on in 2013 in terms of what we can do with our license and what we're going to do with it. So that's kind of what 2013 is going to look like. You know, I think most people are kind of surprised that pinball is kind of on the upswing. You know, most people didn't kind of predict that that was going to happen. Most people were saying, oh, gee, pinball's kind of headed down. That was kind of the story in 2011, 2010. That's not what's really happening. What's happening is I think the pie's getting bigger. You know, Stern's putting out a lot better games, and Jersey Jack's about to put out a game, and it looks like, you know, the revival definitely in the prices of the older Williams Bally games going up, which is not necessarily the best thing, but it's still an indicator that there's a demand for the types of games. So the good news is that helps us kind of push more and more of what we're trying to do, and it kind of validates some of the things that we're trying to get done. And, you know, again, we only kind of stay in business if we're providing something that people want and need to buy. So that's kind of what we're up to, and I think that's kind of what we have. I want to say thanks to Roger Sharp, because Roger's my interface to Williams and helps us along the way, make sure we're doing the right things and gives us guidance and, you know, approves everything that I do. So we're happy to have that relationship and move forward. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop here. We'll take questions in a minute. I want to introduce Mirko, let him talk a little bit about the play fields and what he's doing and kind of latest and greatest, and just for a few minutes. And then we have Sam, who is going to come up with his infamous, really, really good list of difficult and easy questions so we can give some stuff away. I brought a bunch of stuff, and as usual, we'll just give some of that stuff out to people who can either use it or sell it on eBay or do whatever you want to do with it, and go from there. Okay, so with that, then this is Mirko Steffen of High Class Pinballs, and he can give you a quick overview of what he's doing.
Okay, hello everybody. Thank you. Some of you might have seen me on the stand yesterday or have contacted me by email. I've just bought some of the playfields we have recently done. So Attack from Mars, you will all know about it. And we just finished the Funhouse this summer. So this is one of the examples of the ones I have left. And we just finished the Medieval Madness right before the show. So I had some samples here. So the Medieval Madness is the newest project, which just finished. We are well aware that there are some things we can improve. So I definitely know about some issues going around of the other playfields. So we are still trying to improve our process every time. So there always be new developments. We are buying new machines every time. So we are just moved into our new facility. We have built a new building with about 500 square meters just for producing the pinball playfields. So we are using the robot to glue in the inserts and the CNC router to cut out the machines or the playfields. And special and other new machines, the next step will be that the clear coat will be done by a robot. So this will be a new robot system included in the process. And right now we are using the robot to for the inserts and doing the clear coating by hand. But the problem is that we still have dust problems. So we are offering the dust-free version of the playfields. So some of you might have heard of it. The dust-free versions is just the dust polished out of the surface of the playfields, so that's there's no dust left. And we just moved in the new room for the clear coating, so we have a dust-free room right there. We're starting with the medievals, clear coating the playfields there. It's not absolutely perfect, but we are getting even much better than we had before. So we're improving this. And so in the future, we are running the next playfields right away. The Attack from Mars I have here, they are from a previous run, which was not on sale on the news groups because I've had so many pre-orders that there were not many playfields left. So I've taken the remaining ones here. So this is of the last run, which was finished in September. And so we are running Attack from Mars right away on the machines right now. So that's the next thing which will be up again. And the next playfields we are doing will be Monster Bash, Scatstiff, and Star Trek Next Generation, Circus Voltaire, and then we see what's coming up next. So I hope that I mentioned everything. So I would like to give it back to Rick. Thank you very much. There was one thing I just missed. We have some 24 karat real gold plated parts. This is real gold, not brass, as some of you might know. But the real gold has the advantage it does not oxidate, so it will keep like it is. And it sounds more expensive than it is. It's not that bad. So a set of Williams legs usually sells around $175. So it's real gold and will not oxidate and looks very nice on the machines. So we have complete sets with legs and side rails and lock bars and everything. Thank you.
And that's real gold plated for anybody that's trying to think that you're going to make a steal on us. So otherwise, it would be a little bit more than $175. Just another example of how difficult some of this stuff is. You know, reproducing a part is a lot more difficult than building a new part because, you know, the new part that you come out with is going to be the answer. With us, we sell to only the collectors and the collectors kind of drive the quality that we have to do for everybody, you know. So the good news is that we deal with the hardcore collectors. The bad news is it takes us a lot of time and effort to get things done right, and then we sometimes, you know, have to keep trying. For example, reproducing Medieval Madness artwork was about 850 hours of art. And so that's a lot of hours. And then that doesn't even include how much time and energy and proofing and trying to get the printing of it correct. So that's that 850 hours is just doing the artwork. And then you got to take that artwork and then figure out how to get it out the way it was originally done. So this is a pretty good job, and it can only get better, and this is a years-long learning experience, but I think that's kind of what we're trying to do. You know, if you don't fail and learn on certain things, you'll never get better. So that's kind of what we do. And you know the Attack from Mars is a great example of a great play field, and all the other ones coming after that. So with that, maybe what I can do is take questions right now, and then after that, then we'll go to the giveaway with Sam. So does anybody have anything? Yeah.
I have a question about cabinet artwork. Those cabinets that have the artwork printed directly on them have the 88 machines. Is there a way to come up with new towels to redo those cabinets?
Yeah, that's kind of what we do with the next gen process that we have. It's a thin vinyl. Most of the Williams Bally cabinets never came with the decals. So you know, a few of the later ones, Star Trek Next Gen did, and Monster Bash did. I'm not sure which other ones did. Indiana Jones, I don't know. but most of them came directly screen printed on the cabinet themselves. So basically, what we do is we'll scan the cabinet and then just make a exact reproduction from that, put the bleeds around the edges so that you can put it on, and if you're off a hair, that's okay, and that's the process, and it works, and that's really what's done for just about every game nowadays. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I know that the top one is expensive, but Indiana Jones, I know the license
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we know and we want to do. It's a question of whether the licensor wants to do it, you know, because this is a case where a couple things go on. Is you can only do so much in a year with so many different licenses. So that's part A. Is, you know, we've got the Universal license and the CBS license for Star Trek and Twilight Zone and things like that. But that said, if I could get the Lucas, you know, and we've tried and we're trying, it's been done before because my predecessor had the Universe or the Lucas license for Indiana Jones. I think what goes on with that franchise is that they put out more and more movies and things like that, so they want to control the brand tightly. And so... So it's a to be determined, but we're in contact. I'm in contact with the people at Lucas and trying to figure out how to see if we can move something forward. So Certain things, by the way, don't require a license. If it's Indiana Jones plastic sets, those can be done because they're all Williams artwork. You know, it's shapes and colors and stuff like that. You know, with the exception of like the promo plastic, which has Indiana Jones artwork on it, which you can't do. So when we can do that, we do that. But otherwise, we need the license, and we don't stray from that. Okay, so it's stay tuned. We'll see. Yeah.
Some of the pre-production artwork is just a lot cooler than what ended up as production. I'm thinking No Good Gopher, Backblast, Cabinet Art, Earthshakers, and Mirror Glasses. We can just sit there and also some of the pre-production.
Well, yeah, we do. I mean, they did that for the Earthshaker Cabinet Art in the past. I mean, the good news is it's economically much easier to do it the way we do it because we print one at a time. And so instead of having a silk screen where you need to really run 50 or 100 or whatever sets, so long as we have the artwork done, which is a bit of work, then we can do anything. A lot of times the prototype stuff is just a derivative or a difference of the original, so you can leverage a bunch of that. So the answer is sure, we can do any of that, and it tends to just fall in the priority list. You know, if we got to do mainline cabinet art first, like No Good Gophers is the next one on our list, so that's being developed right now, and that'll be done. It's even better if it's the same artwork in different colors. That's not a problem. Okay, I mean, I can have two variations of the same art file and run two different versions really easy. So I just wasn't aware of No Good Gophers having two variations, but yeah, when we get that going, then we can discuss how to get both versions out. That's not a problem. Yeah. Yeah, that's come up. In fact, there's almost many different options of the creature hologram happening. So we've got someone in Germany who I think announced on the news group that they're working on the hologram with us or under our license. So and Universal should be okay with that. First they're doing is actually getting the sculpting of the model done. So they're actually making the correct model as opposed to using the incorrect model, which was done in the past. So they're having a university go and make the right sculpture of the original from the original hologram and then making a hologram from that. And then we've got these LED or LCD versions of a device that go in that can run something that emulates a creature and seeing if that's interesting. So there's a couple people trying to do that, and our only role in that is to maybe provide some universal footage, in that device. And then the third thing is whether or not there's a cheap version, because an original hologram uses original film and it's really complicated and expensive. But we're doing it that way, but then I'm trying to look and see if there's a really economical way to do it. It may not be as perfect or as green or this and that, but maybe it'll do the job. So probably up to three different variations of that coming soon. Just maybe one or two more questions, and then I got to get Sam going on this thing. Anything else? Okay. All right, well, thanks, everybody. And if you got anything, so you can follow up with me afterwards. If you got any bright ideas or things that you want to hit us over the head for or new parts that you want to do, let me know. And thanks for your time. Let's get Sam to go and give away some stuff. I got a bunch of translites and playfield decals. I've got a couple of pinball books and stuff like that. So why don't you get going, Sam, and so Sam Harvey, who I think some people, I think everybody knows Sam. So, and if you don't, it's definitely a worthwhile experience to know who he is, one way or the other. And Sam is going to ask some challenging questions.
Some kind of simple, some kind of challenge.
And then we're going to give away stuff. Huh? Okay. So I'll leave it to Sam because...
Thank you. How many people do we have here for the first time this year? Oh, quite a few. Welcome aboard. Fortunately, I'm one of the 28 members. We're going to ask a couple of questions here on trivia. Even the first question, I'm not positive if I have the correct answer, so I'll appreciate input from the audience. What was the they used to do back glasses on real glass with silk screen, and then eventually they went into trance lights. And my first question is two parts. What was the last Gottlieb game with a back glass, a real screened back glass, and what was the first Gottlieb game that used a trance light? I do. That's what I have for the first trance light was Raven. I admitted that I wasn't positive. I'm in the ballpark. Anybody have any idea on what the last back glass was? Oh, Ice Fever. It possibly could. I think it possibly is Hollywood Heat.
And you're possibly the winner?
That's for you to decide.
Okay, so I've declared that you are both the winners because we don't know. So come up here and grab a Playfield decal set of your choosing.
Okay, the next question is a certain color post on the Playfield was associated with a certain designer. He always had that one of those colored posts on the play field. What was the color of the post, and who was the designer? Rick, I'll let you ask questions from all the hands up in the audience.
Right there.
That is correct.
Are you sure that's correct?
Positive.
All right, then that's positive. So come on up. Okay, Sam.
And what color was the post? That is correct. For some reason, Greg decided to put at least one red post or one red post on every game that he designed, even though the other posts were white or whatever, just to designate that he was the designer of that game. George Melanton was the wonderful artist that worked with Williams all through the Woodrail era and up into the Metal era. Roy Parker was the wonderful artist that worked with Gottlieb through the Woodrail era up into the, and also into the Metal Rail era. However, they must have been independent contractors with ad posters, I do believe, I would think, because through visual inspection from myself, Gordon Hassey, who is very much of a historian in this hobby, Steve Young, we have come up with three back glasses that were Williams products, but the artwork was done by Roy Parker. And it's a three-part question with three different people. What three games used Parker art, even though it was a Williams game? What was that? I couldn't hear you.
I think that's a hard question.
I beg your pardon? Okay, to the conclusion, the three games were Olympics, Williams Olympics, I believe Olympics is like 53, Majorettes, 52, and Perky, 1956.
Yeah, I knew that. But I wasn't going to say.
I'm not sure, but this
go,
is the,
go
this
for
is
an
the,
easy question.
This is the last question.
It can't be the last question because I have more to give away.
Well, then, I don't know. During the war period, I don't know if it was a sign that they could not make pinball machines, but probably the stuff that they used to make them, they needed more important to use within things going on with the war. And Gottlieb stopped producing pinball machines during the war era. And the question is this was supposed to be the coup de grace question at the very end for the big prize. Okay. What did Gottlieb make during that period? Weren't making pinball machines because of the war.
Right there. No.
No. And I'm. This, and by the way, Rick,
right
I'm positive on this answer,
right
so
there.
You can't pick on me anymore. That is correct.
You're the winner. Come on out.
They made parachute harnesses. What is the name of Rick's company? What is it? We're running out of time, so.
What's Alvin Gottlieb's son's name? Yellow. Okay, here's he's got one. Get here in the yellow, he got the answer. What year was the first expo? Hands up only. 85. Our banquet speaker is Joe Kamikow. What was his first game at Daddy East?
Could
I? You have to raise your hand. Got it. What was Joe Kamikow's first game at Williams?
You bet.
All right. Can you win everything? Come on up front. Right. Two more.
How many years have they done Expo?
We did that with them already.
Is that easy?
How long was Alvin Gottlieb's speech at the first Expo? I'll take that answer. Too long. Come up front. All right, one more. Who was the original partner in Expo? Was myself? You got to raise hands. Mike Pasek and?
Okay.
Correct. Come up front.
All right, then we're done. All right, thanks, everybody.